Lesson 10, The Key. After you left, I was locked away in a prison of grief. I cried every day. I couldn't escape, and years went by. I accepted my prison and stopped asking why. When I saw the key, I couldn't believe. The prison doors opened. I could leave. I lost what I loved. Grief swallowed me until the day I found the key. I let myself out. Life wasn't the same. I slowly adjusted, but whispered your name. I tried to forget all I went through, but I never let go of my love for you. When I saw the key, I couldn't believe. The prison doors opened. I could leave. I never dreamed that I'd be free, but then one day I found the key. When I saw the key, I couldn't believe. The prison doors opened, I could leave. What I loved most was taken from me, but you came back to bring me the key. One day I discovered that my sadness over the death of my son had eased into peacefulness. I wanted to give people who were suffering with grief a glimmer of hope that this was possible. But it was complicated. I remembered how annoyed I used to get when someone mentioned things like time would heal. I didn't want to be that person cheerleading anyone anguished by grief. I don't believe in telling anyone how to heal because every person is different. What helped me doesn't necessarily help someone else. I'm usually able to communicate best when I respond to grief-related comments that sadden me. I share now my reply to a comment on my story, All I Have Left with the Death of My Child. Judy, I like what you write, but I would also like to know how to get from feeling ache and emptiness, anger and fury, isolation and loneliness, torment and torture, to feeling love. I feel love all the time, but with my son gone, there's just no place for that love to go. I also want to feel his love for me, not just mine for him. I need him back. I don't know how to transform all of this into something less raw and painful. My reply. I'm glad you wrote your thoughtful comment because it allows me to explain further what I've written. I did not want to sound simplistic. My perspective about grief has come after many years of suffering. Unfortunately, I don't believe there are shortcuts when working through grief. I could not transform myself when my soul was being amputated. My lifeblood was pouring from me, and nothing could stop it. There aren't enough ways that I could describe what you are clearly suffering through, the absolute nightmare of having to accept that you will never again see the person you so deeply loved. I use the word amputated because a piece is missing and will never regenerate. Perhaps that is why some people are unsympathetic, because they cannot see your soul has been eviscerated. In order for me to function again, I had to compensate by searching for a reason to go on living. For a long time, I crawled slowly. As you know only too well, it was raw and painful. What gave me a reason to continue living were the other people I loved in my life. Also, I reached out to find fellow grieving people, which helped me greatly during my grief journey. My anger was part of the process, and I wasn't able to put a bandage of love over it. I was furious at God and at the circumstances I was dealt. I believe anger was a necessary stage of my grief that distracted me. But eventually my anger diminished as I worked through it. What kept me moving forward on my journey was my love. I've met many people who could not let go of their anger. The result was that they ended up becoming bitter. I did not want that to be my legacy. With love, I reminded myself that my son wouldn't have wanted me to become that way. Once I let go of my anger, I was left with quiet sorrow and sadness. And many years after that, I was simply numb. I didn't really look forward to anything and felt like the best part of my life was over. I can't know where your grief journey is going to lead you or how long it will take you to find peace. Right now, there are destinations that you might never imagine reaching. The irony was that I thought my road ended with my scars, but I was wrong. I found out that I could be happy again. I was not suffering over my child's death any longer, and when I reached that place, I discovered that he had never left me. He had carried me. I believe I'll see him again when I die, and that will give me comfort when I face my own death someday. Now I understand that with every tear I cried, he cried too. I just know Jason is celebrating that I'm able to smile again. Connecting and writing to people in grief played a big part with my composing The Key. When I read a very depressing blog post where a mother described her grief as being in a prison, I felt compelled to write to her. This is what she wrote. Grief is not a race where we cross the finish line, nor do we graduate from grief. While I do have small moments of grace now, total contentment, peace, and joy will never be mine again in this lifetime. That seems to be my reality from where I am standing now in my personal prison of grief. I wrote back and gently offered hope with the possibility that she could eventually leave her prison someday. The story that came into my mind inspired lyrics for The Key. The prison metaphor definitely fits with the unfairness of it all. Ending up in a prison when you haven't done anything wrong is reprehensible. Families are wrecked. Relationships suffer. I was angry at the system and wondered who was to blame for my imprisonment. I was fortunate that I had a few visitors because most people do not want to visit a prison. I did not expect I'd ever be free again. Anger turned to depression. Eventually, I accepted that this was the way my life would be. I was absolutely certain I'd never leave. But one day, I just did. I easily conjured up my elation of finding a key to leave my prison of grief. I faced adjusting to a new life when I left. I tried to let go of the awful grief I went through, but I still whispered his name and never forgot my love. But there was a big piece of my story that wasn't written into my song. It was about my determination to go back and visit the prison of grief. I wanted to give the other prisoners hope that one day they could also leave. It was this element that actually led to a profound ending for my song. I realized that every time I helped other grieving people, I felt my beloved Jason hugging my heart. Imagery can often reveal powerful ideas. I had pictured myself holding the key and leaving my prison of grief, but still I wondered, how did I find that key? This was important to understand so I could explain to the other prisoners how they could also leave. I was so inspired and emotional when an image appeared. There was Jason. He was beaming and held out a key and placed it in my hand. I had found a perfect ending for my song. Shared The Key on my blog, I received a touching comment from a fellow blogger who had suffered the loss of her beloved sister. She wrote, "To me, it spoke about finding your way through grief without letting go of the person you lost. I don't think you ever have to let go or get past the loss. I believe you just learn to live a different life. At some point, the sentence is over. The line, you came back to give me the key, is very uplifting and empowering. I love the idea that the person you lose is the one who can set you free from your grief." During the time that I wrote my song, The Key, I was suffering with my dry eyes. Because I wrote uplifting messages to people on a dry eye forum, a medical company discovered me. They were looking to film videos of people suffering from chronic pain who offered inspiration with how they coped. Here is an audio excerpt from the very end of that video. Everything changed when I started to write and open my heart. And when I began to open my heart, it led me to playing guitar again. It led me back to friendship. I didn't say how I felt for so long. And when I started to write songs, I was able to get those feelings out that were hidden. And then I began to realize that all the songs I was writing were really songs to help me change my life. I began to share what was inside. And when I started to write, I started feeling great. I had this new excitement about life. I was realizing I was healing from all that I'd been through. Before the age of 50, I was a very unhappy, sad woman. Everything changed when I found my music. I just became a different person. Life is filled with unknown. You can choose to view the unknown as scary, or you can view the unknown as beautiful. I have a feeling there are really exciting things ahead for me. And it's all about living for today. I don't need to be famous or rich or any of those things, because I already have everything I need.
When this dry eye video was filmed 2 years ago, I was still in significant pain from my condition. 6 months later, I sought out a new treatment with a naturopathic doctor, and gradually my pain diminished. My eyes were not the same as they were before, but they were manageable, and I had my life back. It was ironic that many of the things I thought I was doing to help my eyes were actually making them much worse. Changing my thinking and trying different things made all the difference in my healing. Before the filming of that video, I wrote some notes and I called them key points. I noticed that I coped with my eye pain in much the same way that I did with grief. Therefore, I would love to summarize this course with those concepts that I wrote. Here are my key points. I always hang on to hope as much as possible. When I feel I'm succumbing to hopelessness, I try to change my thinking. Self-love is definitely a key. It propels me to nurture myself and promote healing. Compassion is so important. I shine it first upon myself, and I feel for others who are suffering. Reaching out is a connection that creates strength and has never pulled me down. I avoid looking back, wishing things were the way they were before. I move forward with my willingness to explore possibilities that might help me. I look for signs of healing because I believe the more you look for something, the more likely you will find it. My path and my journey is unique to me. There is no destination or timetable. Expectations can lead me to depression. I look at what I'm able to do with my life rather than despair about what I've lost. Grief and healing will always be a part of my life's journey. When I perform my song, The Key, I usually choke up and cry when I sing the line, "I've never let go of my love for you." I continue to try and let go of my traumatic grief experiences, but have accepted that they shaped me into the person I am today. Everything that I have gone through led me to this place. I'm thankful that I found a key that allowed me to live without suffering as I did for decades. I'm grateful for keys that I have found that have helped me with other forms of loss. I'll continue searching for more of them. The more you look for something, the more likely you will find it. Music was certainly one of the most magnificent keys, which helped me to heal. I wonder what key you might find that will allow you to exit your prison of grief. Simply imagining and holding on to an image of that can be comforting when you feel hopeless. Remember, thoughts equal feelings. Think of ways you can hold on to your hope. Find and connect with people who understand your suffering. Express your grief. I believe tears are healing and crying releases sadness. Up and out is something I encourage. Most of all, discover ways to extend love and compassion to yourself. Feel your loved one beside you. thank you so much for joining me for these 10 lessons where I've shared my heart and my life experiences related to grief and healing. I have many more songs and stories, and I look forward to creating other courses like this one in the future, so stay tuned. I wish you healing and comfort on your personal journey. Please allow hope to carry you through the darkness, even in the deepest void. I pray you'll find that shining star, that light to lead you through.
When I saw the key, I couldn't believe the prison doors opened and I could leave. What I loved most was taken from me, but you came back to bring me the key.